Hello.
Hello.
Hey there, it's Anne.
I was just thinking about you, Anne, just a minute ago.
Really? I was thinking we hadn't talked in a while.
I was working on one of your files here to ingest,
Oh,
and
okay.
saying, "Oh, that program I recorded the other day, you'd probably be interested in having a copy of it. It
Which
was on
program?
the Science Channel. It was about killer asteroids."
Oh,
And
doesn't that come on like once every 3 weeks? They have
something
killer
like that.
astronomy day, killer shark day.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, killer
Exactly.
weather day.
I think this was a new broadcast show this year.
Oh, cool.
So I'll send you a copy if you want.
Okay. Oh, no, wait a minute. I probably can't play it on anything.
DVD?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I have a relatively recent DVD player that
Yeah.
seems to do. Hey, Ron. Hey there. You sound very, very far away.
He was. We're closing the door.
Ah.
Because we had evil people trying to attend our meeting.
It might liven things up. Invite them in. Tell them to bring pizza. I'm hungry.
That's true. I'm hungry, too. Anybody else on?
Lyle.
Hey, Lyle. Todd, you're very faint.
Oh, I am?
Carl, you're better now.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure I speak up. Which?
Hey, Susie and Ed.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm just now getting back to my email from a previous meeting that broke up like 20 minutes ago. What's this attachment from Dick Simpson?
The first agenda item is the standard approval process.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm.
Originally, Mitch was going to lead it. And then Mitch had, I don't think we're going to see Mitch today, so I asked Dick to lead. Hey, Dick.
Yeah, but that doesn't actually tell me what the attachment is.
Well, it's a PDF of the standards process that's currently. Hey, Patty.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, unless you changed that in the past 4 hours, I had already read that or printed that out and looked at it.
Okay. Well, in the PDF that was the attachment, I think Dick is. Inserted into the approval process is questions and comments, I guess.
Ah. Oh, it's 5 pages long. That's longer than the one that I printed.
Yeah.
Actually, oh, yeah, okay. So are we going to have, like, 10 minutes of silence while we over read this?
Yeah, I haven't
spent a lot of time on this particular item today.
Hey, Mitch.
I agree with Dick.
We shouldn't spend a lot of time on anything today.
Yeah.
Well, we sort of have everybody. Why don't we get started? So the first agenda item is the standard process.
I raised some questions about how we voted on these things, and I think Mitch went and dug out the Management Council procedure. It's not clear that that's the one that we want here, but it does provide a little bit of insurance because if you can't get it through using the management procedure vote at the tech session level, the chances are slim that you'd have any hope getting
okay,
it through the
Okay, now I
management
can't
council.
See the Management Council procedure thing because it even though it's on the engineering pages, you need a password and a user ID to get in.
Yeah.
So I can't see it.
Okay.
If you're going to talk about it, please send it to me, because when you talk about things that I specifically can't see, it tends to piss me off. Just a warning.
Okay, let's not talk about it.
Oh, rather than sending it to me?
We have a procedure for the Management Council voting. None of us here need to worry about that. The question is, how do we want to approve things at this level?
Okay,
basically, the Management Council needs kind of like a two-thirds vote, but there's some votes are more important than others.
Okay.
So, do we want things to get out of the tech session with a majority, with two-thirds, or do we want to apply some other criteria? That's pretty much what it comes down to. And there was a side issue of whether we even want to have votes. Ron was offering things, saying that they'd go to the management council or go to implementation if nobody objected. I didn't care for that because sometimes emails get lost, and he could receive no objections when actually nobody even knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So I think we need an explicit approval, but the question is, how many votes do we need to to get it out of the tech session onto the next level.
Ah, okay, because the thing that I'm looking at that I got off the engineering note has a statement in it that really concerns me that I'm not actually finding in your document, which I
Well, okay. Joel did say that that was, or Joel did the last version, it was 2005. I looked through it and didn't see anything that was different. But I have a lot of concerns about both that one and the one from 2002. But they don't so much have to do with the voting procedure, which I think is what we're should think about.
Here is the sentence, and it's not really even a sentence, and I'm not sure how to locate it. In the one that I got from the engineering node, there's a section with a bullet that starts off, the draft standard is reviewed, and underneath it has a bulleted list with standard status as the last three lines. After that, there's a parenthetical comment that says, at any point in this process, the PDS systems engineer may declare the request approved and move it to the implementation queue. In this instance, the systems engineer will also be responsible for verifying the implementation. I have a big problem with that.
Yeah, I think that's in the one that I handed around, because the system engineer doesn't have any role except for deciding that it's done.
And I think at the
it's
time
on page 3, I think.
And I think at the time we had discussed that, all of us objected to it, but there was a certain autonomy assumed by the system engineer, which I think is somewhat outdated.
Yeah, I found the place in Dick's document where it would appear if it were in here, but it's not in Dick's documents.
Yeah, I think the version I have just says that the project engineer determines when the candidate statement is ready for release. The version you have, I guess, has a few more words.
Well, I'm worried now because this is the version that I got off the engineering website. So what version was I supposed to get?
No, that's the version that people have been working from, but my impression is that was approved by the engineering node. Nobody else had any say over it.
Okay, so where did you get your starting document from?
Out of my computer from about 2002. Because when I went to the engineering website, I couldn't even download the versions that were there. The website was not functioning.
Huh. Okay.
There's also a keyword approval process that Elizabeth wrote up last September. That's also posted. As far as I know, it has no input from anybody else.
Yeah.
I sent her a lot of comments on that one, too, but I think the one that's posted is the version she wrote, and it has no amendments. We're not following that, but I'd like to go through the whole thing.
Well, I'd like to go through the whole thing too, but I'd like to have a copy of the thing that we're going through.
Okay, this is Steve. I just downloaded the one from the engineering node website too. It has what Ann said. At any point in this process, the PDS system engineer may declare the request approved. At the bottom, it says that this. Was revised 2005, March 1st, with Joel Wilf and with input from others. So that seems to be the official one.
That may be true, but the last version that went out for comment went out in 2002. I sent comments in, and as far as I can tell, none of my comments were incorporated. And Joel just did that as one of his parting shots.
No, it does say with input from others.
That's what it says. It doesn't mean he took any of them.
It doesn't list who the others were.
Yeah, it clearly doesn't have mine in it.
Yeah, so what it sounds like is that there's another cycle that's needed on that document anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, we knew that.
Okay.
My question is, what is the starting point? And I'm happy to start anywhere, but if it's something other than the document, I haven't read it, and so I don't know what we're starting from, and it makes it a little hard to have a conversation.
Let's do the one on the engineering node, since everybody has that.
That was my point.
And I'm not sure how many of the upcoming teleconferences I'm going to be involved in. I'm going to LPSC, and then I've got some experiments after that.
Can I jump in here for a second?
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, I keep falling off because I have my phone in the wrong place. I have two comments that I'd like to throw out. Well, one is the standards process document, whichever one you start with, is clearly out of date. We all agree to that. Rather than try to solve that in a tech session teleconference, I really like Dick's suggestion, which is just pick two or three stuckies and have them go through and give us a document that's a better starting place. The most recent one I could find talks about setting up things that are already in place now.
rather than deal with it on the phone, I think that a small group could produce a more current document to run with.
Yeah, I agree. Would you like to do it, and would Ann like to do it?
Okay.
Okay, well, let's pass things around by email.
All right.
Is there anybody else that wants to join in?
No, I think you guys can handle it.
Okay, so there's a working group of three. I'll take the lead. And on this voting question, are there strong feelings for two-thirds, half?
This is Mitch again with a comment. Not all things are created equal.
Right.
Some things get no further than the tech session's approval. For instance, adding standard values to keywords. Don't go to management council.
Oh, I agree. I think we can set this. The question is, there's nothing that's ever been said. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking that what we need are two different voting procedures.
Okay.
One criterion, and they may end up being the same, but I think we need to distinguish between the two different cases. When we're voting on something that's going to be forwarded to the management council, and when we're going to vote on something where our vote is conclusive.
Actually, you can solve that by describing the triage of requests for change. Some requests for change you can implement almost automatically. Some requests for change, certain types of changes must be approved by the entire tech group. Certain changes must be approved by the management council. And I think we can take a shot at creating the categories into which most of those will be easy to sort.
So, Mitch, what kind of threshold would you have to pass if the tech session is the sole arbitrator, I guess?
I don't know. I would argue that's one that we need to discuss. But the one I'm concerned about is if it's going to management council, our criterion can be no less stringent than the management council's.
I disagree there.
Well, let's take that as a starting point. We can hash it out after we've got a draft.
Okay.
Just on the other side of the issue, I would suggest that they should be exactly the same, just so that the votes, that the perspectives are in sync. If what comes out of a tech session has a good chance of passing in management council.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, that's a reasonable rationale. I was going to offer my position on this is that I think majority is all that's needed. Each node gets one vote. The engineering node gets one vote, just as all the other nodes do. You know, system engineer doesn't get an extra vote. You know, maybe the system engineer is like the president of the Senate, right? Maybe a tiebreaker. But
well, we're going to have to figure out who actually has votes before we finalize this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the point that's maybe it'll come up later at the next Management Council telecon is that they're trying to streamline the MC requirements process and how that's handled. And as you've seen in the past on other issues, that maybe something that passed tech sessions didn't pass Management Council. And I think there's a movement for trying to sync up the two groups so that if something gets out of the tech group, that there's a reasonable chance that Management Council will be in sync with it. Not necessarily they have to vote the same way, but at least the votes show that there's a semblance of understanding of both sides of what has to be voted on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable, but I know sometimes Ray, once he considers something, sometimes votes differently than I did.
Sure. Well, the managers also have to consider their relationship with the PIs for the missions that they're supporting and things
exactly.
like that.
Sure, but also the the members of a node on the tech group should also be in sync with their managers in terms of what's been going on.
Yeah, I don't have a hard time imagining a situation, however, where I would say technically this is an okay thing to do, but when it comes to the PI interface, they decide no, it actually, politically, this isn't a good thing to do.
Yeah, I understand that.
And the same internationally.
Yeah, exactly. It happens.
Okay, I'm done.
Cool.
Second agenda item is the rewrite of Chapter 7. Ann, you want to take that one?
Yeah, basically I got a specific comment from Todd, which I am happy to incorporate if nobody has any complaints. And apart from that, I think we are, although I had a little trouble figuring out, Todd, why you wanted that statement in Section 7.2 on dates and not in Section 7.3.2 on times.
I'm trying to recall that.
I can actually probably put my hands on the email message. I have a printout of it in front of me. I'm sorry. This statement that you suggested to go as the last, at the end of the last paragraph of section 7.2 reads, quote, the start time and stop time data elements required in data product labels and catalog files use UTC and are expressed in PDF standard date format. And you suggested that be in section 7.2, which is talking about dates and native dates versus UTC dates. And the thing is that start time and stop time, in fact, aren't dates, they are times. And so I would prefer to put that statement, changing the word date to time in the last sentence, in section 7.3.2 as, in fact, the first paragraph, under native times, stating that start time and stop time in PDS labels must be in UTC and in PDS standard time format. Times in any format other than that format described above are considered to be in a format native to the data set, and then let that section continue.
I don't understand. Isn't this sentence already in 7.3.1?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So why are we
adding
it again?
Well, when I read through it on things, it sort of, at that early part, I guess, 7.2, it sort of treated standard dates and native dates as somewhat equal and interchangeable. Kind of like you could pick which one you wanted. And what I was trying to achieve was an emphasis that the standard format is preferred and the native is only an exception.
Well, doesn't it already say that? I mean, in 7.2 it says the conventional format is preferred and native formats are allowed only when the conventional format is not suitable.
I can reorganize that paragraph, 7.2, to say dates in PDS keywords should be expressed in the standard format. In some cases, it may be required or something along those lines. So make the statement first that dates should be in standard format. There may be a reason to have them in native formats in rare cases, but...
And that needs some sort of approval from a PDS node?
Yeah, and some justification, I guess. I mean, you're not going to... I don't think you're going to put like start date and stop date in a native time. Whenever that is the case, there's some prefix to it that makes them distinguished from the sort of core standard element that should be there in a standard format. My concern was it was a little loose, and I was trying to tighten that up to make it very clear that we want standard because it has great utility in doing so. Now, if others don't read it the same way I do, I'm not...
I don't see your concern.
Okay.
I'm not overly concerned. Like I said, I can rearrange the paragraph so that the emphasis on conventional format comes first. This still doesn't have anything to do with start time and stop time, which are times.
Well, that's true, but dates need to be in standard format as well for
yeah.
those things which are dates, except by, you know, rare instance or specific exception.
And actually, now I have to remind myself. This is referring to dates and times both as data in table files and as values of keywords.
Right, and I think keywords are distinct from tables.
Right.
And the keywords...
Keywords, you don't get a choice. If it has a right. type of date, then it has to be a date. There's nothing ambiguous about
right.
that.
Right. Now, if I'm the only one that perceives it a little differently, then let's not, you know, draw this out, I guess. But...
Well, what's the general feeling? Do you guys want me to rework the paragraph or leave it as is?
I vote leave as is.
Anyone else?
I leave it to your judgment.
Damn, now I have to think.
Saves me the trouble.
All right, let me consider this and think if there's a less wishy-washy way of saying the same thing, and then I will send out the current wording and then my proposed replacement wording, and you guys can give me an up or down one way or the other. How about that?
Sounds good.
and then we'll call this one done with whatever that change is.
Yep.
Alrighty. I had a question, and this is actually a question for Ron. The index table at the end, this used to be auto-generated. Is it still auto-generated, or do you want me to hand-edit it?
Not reference to index.
Oh, I see, in the chapter itself.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Last time I went through and hand put the tags in to Word so that it will then generate the index, but, I mean, you literally have to put those tags in.
Yeah, I know, and I did do it once upon a time for the entire manual. So I will have to remind myself how to do that, but I can do that if you want me to.
Sure.
Okay.
I think the correct response was yes, please.
Okay, we're done with that one. Anything else?
On 7.1, do you want to increase the limits for seconds to 60 and hours to 24?
You know, I don't, because of the way the table's presented as being the general case. I think I would rather leave the special exception that occurs once every 5 or 6 years lately to the special section and just there. I don't want to imply that it's an ordinary thing that they'll see all the time. Maybe for hour because of midnight, but.
I think that's used less frequently even than leap second, but...
Well, we haven't had a leap second since when?
Yeah, well, I don't know anybody that uses 2400.
Yeah, I think we should actually discourage that.
But it's
probably okay to leave it as legal.
Yeah, it's the last section in the chapter. If anybody is specifically looking for information on minutes or leap seconds, they should be able to find it in the index once I update it.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about people programming for validation tools if they just start with this.
Well, people programming for validation tools need to read the entire chapter.
Yeah, but...
Could it be a little annotation, maybe a star or something?
It is that you're being inconsistent then.
Could you just put a star, look elsewhere type of thing for extra information?
You mean, for example, next to HH-hour 0 to 23, we put something that says C-section on midnight?
Yeah, something like that.
Do you want to do that? I can do that.
I don't want to do that. I would just rather put the 24 and the 60 in there, and then you're complete.
Okie doke, if that's what you want. That's what I'll do.
I think Ann's right that we don't want to put the general rule out there with confusing information. But put a note right after that. Pointing towards the end of the chapter for special cases might be
okay.
The way to do it.
After the table that has the individual part definitions, I'll put a note that says, note, please see section 7.4 for special cases involving midnight and leap seconds.
Yeah. Asterisks and footnotes tend to get corrupted. If you call it a note, I think it might actually survive.
Okay. Does that take care of everybody's concerns?
I thought it was good before we even got to today.
Good job, Ann.
Anything else? Moving to 11.04, the increase in start and stop times. Are there any... First off, has everybody reviewed the FCR?
No.
Yeah. I've read it. By the way, the current maximum length is 23 characters. The 24th character was for the Z, which is no longer allowed. Milliseconds is actually what...
We never said it wasn't allowed. We said... We never prohibited the use of Z.
Fine. That ignoring the Z... Let's not go down the Z viaduct at this particular point in time. The illustration that's given shows the maximum precision for a time value, which is, in fact, 23 characters, not 24.
Okay, so there's a typo in the first...
So there's a typo. My first concern is that start time and stop time are required in every data product label and are one of the very few keywords that is searchable across the entire system, and once again is part of the external interface because they also occur in the dataset catalog files between PDS and other archives. Secondly, I don't agree with the assessment that this will have a low impact. In point of fact, for the validators and verifiers and everything that I have that works with start time, there is a major impact. I'm going to have to go back and change code because one of the things I check to validate a start time or a stop time is length. And if it's greater than 23, it's wrong. So there is an impact there. And I don't know if that affects anybody else, but you need to ask the tools people what they've programmed in specifically for these keyword values that are pervasive and everywhere. And third, microsecond precision in a variable that you would search across an entire archive the size of the PDS is very, very close to being ridiculous. Within a particular data set, maybe you can justify it. You'd have a heck of a job justifying it to me, even in this case. But across the entire data set, you cannot possibly have that significance of precision.
Well, but the point is that they're using this precision, and we need to support it. It seems pretty
simple. I think it's spurious precision.
But it's none of our business whether it is or not. It's the
yes, it is.
Saying this is the precision we want to record for this data, and it just seems kind of silly to me that we can't support
then
it.
They can record it in a native time keyword. Start time is a PDS keyword, not a mission keyword. It has special significance to PDS and to the external interfaces that we're trying to create between PDS and the rest of the world.
Can I get in here for a second?
Sure.
Yes, this is a question I need to ask, technical question.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the significance of this for searching across the PDS, what actually gets searched is not the label, but the value that's been inserted into the index. And consequently goes to the catalogs.
True.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
not necessarily.
No, we don't know that for sure.
We already have systems that search using the values in the label.
Ah, okay.
But I don't
so that was,
think
obviously you could see where I was going with that, Beauty.
Yeah, I could see where you were going, and so I wanted to say no.
All right. So what's the problem? You do a search for time, and you're searching generally for a range. And if you're searching for two plus or minus a day, you don't care about the precision.
Right. As far as I'm concerned, there's no issue with increasing the length on the precision, because the search is going to work either way.
Who is it that said, who just said there's no issue with in search?
Keith Bennett at CO.
Yeah,
sorry
about that.
He's writing the software that will do this.
For who?
For right now, for MRO.
Okay, so we haven't got anyone from the validation tool team weighing in on what effect this has on that?
Oh, that's a different issue, Ann.
Yes, it is.
Validation versus search. I was trying to get to the search issue first.
Well, the search issue, presumably, regardless of what's actually in the label, you will read the amount of precision that you can retain for whatever database or use you're involved in at the time.
Yeah, my point is that if we had six-digit precision, it won't affect anybody's current search tools. Right. Mostly the search tools, when they deal with time, are going to talk about a range, and the six-digit precision is almost certainly not going to be a factor.
Exactly, yeah.
It is probably going to be a factor for validation tools.
Yes.
That affects you because you've got a tool that you use. It should affect vTool. Should it affect vTool? vTool does label validation. Yeah, it should affect vTool. And so there's a consequence to this. There's a consequence to not moving forward with this, and I don't think we can stand the consequence.
The consequence of not accepting this is that we look like idiots.
That's one.
I would challenge them to prove that they have microsecond
any
precision.
Such thing. We have no business telling them you can or cannot record this about your data.
No, yes, we do.
And,
Mitch, I know of a case where we have this kind of precision and we need it.
That's fine, but it doesn't need to go into the start time keyword, which is such an important keyword to the PDS system.
I'm sorry, that's where we differ. I think the PDS serves the scientists and the users, and we don't just serve our own little temple of wisdom.
No. You guys are we're doing semantics here. Ann's comment is we could put the precision in the label in a different keyword. We have to ask ourselves, how does that affect the user who wants the six-digit precision? Is that right? So, for instance, if we had start time and stop time, and then we had start ephemeris time or start S-clock time.
Or it would be native start time or native stop time.
I hate native.
Yeah, me
I like
too,
S-clock, actually. As the S-clock is typically the clock that's maintaining that level of precision.
That's not even that. If you use UTC, you still might need the microseconds. Suppose you're doing ground data.
Yeah, which is what I was talking about before, were occultations. And we're starting to see that kind of precision in it.
Right, but I think Anne's point is that start time and stop time are really core search metadata. And you can standardize that to a particular precision and not preclude them from putting greater precision in a different keyword. So
this is Steve.
All of that's correct. The problem that I have is although start time and stop time serve those functions for the PDS, they no longer are restricted to those functions because the user community uses them for something else. And I got to tell you, when I'm working with data, I look at the start time, stop time field. I don't look at the various other fields unless I have to.
Right, and I think really the question is that this SCR understates the impact. I think we understand
yes.
the impact, and is that acceptable?
Okay, let me jump in. You're right that it understates the impact, but seriously, what is the impact? The impact is you have to go in to some programs and change a number from 24 to 27. Is there really anything else that has to be done?
Has anybody checked the archive proposer's guide to see if this is mentioned in that document or in whatever is passing for the data preparation workbook now?
Yeah.
I don't think those documents get at these sorts of things in that level of detail.
Yeah, I don't know because I haven't read them. But I don't see anything about a documentation search having been done to determine where this will need to be.
Even if we found that, the excuse that we can't make this change because it's too hard to upgrade our documentation and our tools, that's just not an acceptable excuse.
Well, that's not something that anybody has said.
That's what it sounded like to me.
The statement that was made that we're currently discussing is that the impact has been underassessed. And one of the things that there's no indication has been done is an assessment of what effect this might have. The answer might be none. What effect it might have on the interface documents for the PDS system, including the archive preparation guide and those other. There's only like three of them now that could possibly be affected by something like this.
So
they don't go to the level of detail as specifying the length limit of any keyword.
No, but Anne's pointed out something that's really going to be important for the working group that's going on SCR changes, the new standards process. We need to identify the places that have to be checked when we're doing assessments to see, and those documents have to be checked, even if it's just to go quickly through it and say, doesn't affect this document. What
True.
We're doing right now is we're looking at this thing saying, these are the ones they talked about, but we haven't got a list that says these are the ones that they've checked and it does not affect. Okay, so that's
right.
going to affect how we do the process.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly here on the phone, assuming that it affects the standards reference, the PDS data dictionary, the archival preparation guide, the proposer's guide, and software for vTool and anybody else who has a validation tool that handles labels, is that big enough to say no to this? And I would suggest that it is not. We should move forward with this with the caveat that we need to make a clear identification of what things are going to be affected.
Yes, that's true. It may be that the only thing required, for example, to adapt vTool is to change the PDSDD.full definition.
Which I think is true.
It may very well be true. God it's true.
Right. And well, there may be additional things in that they had date time is a special type that could be parsed. And they
right.
may have to change some rules in the parser. But
Fortunately, if those rules were cleverly written to begin with, the impact should be minimal, I would hope,
right.
on the order of a day at worst for testing and for implementation and testing and things like that.
Right.
I don't think it's an issue with vTool. I think, Diane, you mentioned your tools, your validation tools.
Yes, my validation tools are much more specific, but that's my problem, and it's still a day.
Yeah. Okay, I we'll check on the vTool side here. But like you say, I don't think it's a big issue.
Yeah, these tools should be much more general than my personal tools.
Right.
Have we had enough discussion? Can we vote on this?
I move for a vote.
I second that.
I prefer to e-vote. I actually like being able to write down reasons for things so that when Mike is at management council meetings, he can look them up.
I'd suggest if we go with an e-vote that we restrict it to no more than a week to make
sure.
A vote.
Restrict it to the next half hour if you like. I'll send the e-vote in right now.
I need 24 hours because I'm going to be away from a computer for a while.
Ah, okay. Well, if you prefer to go with voice vote, that's okay. I can document something while I'm sitting here.
I'm not ready to vote myself.
Okay.
Okay, when we do e-votes, I would like to suggest that we not do secret ballots, that we do them publicly, and that we include comments. People are submitting no's and everybody else is going along willy-nilly, yes, not realizing that somebody has spotted something bad.
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, I had sent my vote just to Ron, not really intending it to be secret. I just sort of thought, you know, everybody gets so much email already. Do you really want one more that just simply says yes or no?
Yeah.
Or
well,
yes or no with
you,
a couple sentences.
I think the MC procedure requires that the votes be posted.
Right, and
nobody's ever done that, so in principle, you could go to that bulletin board and see what people.
Maybe we should vote on the blog.
Well, there's no mechanism to vote on the blog, but
right,
Ron has been posting the votes on.
I mean,
the
why not?
Hearing site.
Well, because first of all, because the blog's been hacked.
Oh.
If you've looked at it recently, you can see the advertisements that are submitting themselves somehow through the blog.
Yeah.
So until that's a little more secure.
A question, though, about this, if the reason for having open voting, which I don't really object to, if the reason is that to allow people to change their minds, do we have a mechanism to allow that? Can you go back and say, well, I read somebody else's comment and now I'm changing my vote? So,
I just did that on several of my votes, so I assume that got recorded correctly.
Yeah, I mean, that could, you know, with multiple votes, that gets a little,
thinking that
funky to manage.
Yeah.
Open session on the telecom.
I'm sorry, I missed the beginning of that sentence.
Maybe we should vote in open session on the telecom then.
Well, as I said, I'm happy to do it either way. I'll record something for Mike locally here anyway because the documentation is useful for us so he can go back and remind himself what I may or may not have told him from tech session telecoms.
You know, I can go either way. E-votes seem like a nice way of recording. If you have a statement that you want to put along with your vote, you know, I think if the voting period is a week open and you vote more than once, your final vote is the one that counts.
Why couldn't we do a vocal vote with comments, where the comments are sent in?
Can you point to a place where the notes from these meetings are posted?
We can find a place.
The meeting
that kind of makes my point.
The meeting minutes are posted.
The meeting
under
minutes
the
are posted.
Standard telecom somewhere. The only thing I haven't been able to do, but I think this one's going to work, is post the recording. Because they seem to disappear
yeah.
about as fast as I can try and retrieve them.
Yeah, no, I can't listen to the recordings on any of my...
trying to do the minutes, and maybe I'm not as good as Elizabeth was, but they are posted.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. They are posted.
And if you look under every SDR, the note votes are posted.
Yep.
But as long as the notes are terse, I even put a little note in there. So
it sounds like we have everything in place that we actually already need. We just need to realize it's being used.
I'm in favor of kind of e-vote so you can put comments that get worded exactly as you intended. Notes, you know, like minutes or something aren't always maybe.
My comment was a vocal vote where the comments were actually submitted by the voter. So it'd be exactly as you wanted it. And it'd just be go into the minutes. It'd just go in the minutes with the vote.
Sure.
Either way, you know, I guess we're working out procedures here.
So I hear we're going to do an e-vote. The time limit will be 1 week.
Oh, I heard different. Let's take a vocal vote, and then people follow up their verbal vote with an email, just for the record.
Don't we have something on the table that says the impact assessment isn't good enough? Why are we voting on this?
Well, I thought after the discussion that the impact I think we understand the impact.
The back of the envelope calculation of the potential impact assessment indicated that it was probably within the realm of acceptability.
Yeah,
I could say that with more syllables, but it wouldn't be harder.
The point is that the impact assessment was understated, yes, but it's still not significant.
Okay, then I'm willing to vote within a week. I haven't read the thing, though, myself.
Probably a good idea to read it first.
Okay, then e-vote.
All righty. Mark that for vote.
Next.
Where are we?
SCR 3-1064, I guess.
64 version 2. This one was rejected. So what I suggested is people review the blog discussion. Are we going to, I guess the question is, are we proposing amendments or is it just going to die a terrible death?
I think the need is still there, yes?
Yeah, I think so.
So we just need to, is it really all we need to do is change the definition of band name to make it more general than...
No, this is the length of the path name. And you brought up the point that
the
ISO standard is correct. And being 256 because the
255, it has to fit in a byte.
Okay, 255. Because the first directory, which a lot of us have always assumed was off of the root, is actually the root directory, and so.
Well, it depends on what you call root, and the calculation is a little tricky, and I don't have the ISO standards memorized as to the extent that I have PDF standards memorized.
Right, but
Would you like me to write something up specifically that describes in English what the ISO standard actually requires? Would that help?
I thought you did in your blog.
I did, but I want to double-check it and make sure that all the relative terminology is correct because the root directory of the ISO volume is actually treated specially. So I need to go back and see how that affects the length restraints, for example, if it's not possible that the root directory can have a 31-byte name because it's given a default 1-byte identifier of 0, something like that, then you know it affects the calculation. Because ultimately, presumably, what you want to be able to do is state, this is how you calculate whether or not your file specification is too long to fit on an ISO disk. Right?
Right, and I guess my only thing is I don't think we should be overly concerned about that from this point forward. It was a valid concern when we put everything onto volumes or CDs.
Well, we still have to write them on some non-volatile medium, don't we? And other than CDs and DVDs, and another thing I don't have is a copy of the UDF standard. It may be that the rules for pure UDF are very, very different, but we have... The standards, the PDF standards, require UDF ISO bridge format, which is why we're still constrained by the ISO 9660 constraints.
Right. And I think until we decide, or PDS decides, what the archive media will be and that it is different than CD and DVD, we can't really change path name to exceed the current specifications, the current ISO 9660 specs.
Well, can we simply just do the increase to 255 today, get it done?
Well, except that the description for path name currently says that it identifies the full directory path excluding the file name, so you need to subtract for the maximum possible file name 32 from 255 for the 31 characters of the file identifier plus the slash to divide it from the previous directory, whatever that might be.
I may be missing something. I just pulled down 106.4 version 2, and it's still talking about 287 characters.
Yeah, that's one that was rejected.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so we don't have a new one on the floor at the moment.
Right. The question, okay. I guess the question is, do we try to write a new one, or do we just carry on as we've been doing until a new hard medium standard comes along?
Okay.
Or do we try to expand path name to some value that's actually safe?
Got
for
it.
ISO 9660.
Thank you.
So currently PathName says a maximum length of 72.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the question is, what should we increase it to? Because we need to increase it.
You could safely increase it to 255 minus 32.
Yeah.
223.
Yeah. And I think that's what we should do. Because right now we can't represent the path in the label for something that's a valid ISO path. I mean, we can't even store it,
right,
which is ridiculous.
Okay.
Right, so let's amend the current SCR to 223 characters where it says 287.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get this passed.
Okay.
Right, because we don't want to make it longer than is practical, but we want to make it as big as possible.
Want to make things that already exist legal.
Right.
There you go.
Right. So then, can we vote on this one? Or do we have to have the SCR resubmitted and modified? Or modified and resubmitted, I guess, is the right order.
I don't vote on SCRs that don't exist.
That's probably a good policy.
Okay.
Ron, do you want to modify this one? Do you want me to modify it?
Wait a minute. I learned this from Dick. Would you please? No, that was Mitch.
Yes, I will. Is it okay to just download the doc file that's online and edit that, the version 2 doc file?
I'm surprised that one still says 287 because I thought I'd already changed it back to 277. But let me look and I'll send you whatever.
Okay.
Couldn't it be voted on with a lien?
Well, if we're going to e-vote anyway, we might as well send the three things out for e-voting simultaneously with the same deadline instead of making ourselves nuts with different deadlines.
What are the three things?
Chapter 7? Or is Chapter 7 done?
Well, you had said you were going to try and rework.
Oh, that's right.
It
I was going to send you an email. Right. So two at least at this point, 1104 and modified 1064.
Are we going to try and do an e-vote on 1103, the standard? At the same time?
I'm sorry, I don't recognize my number.
1103 is Chapter 7.
That's what I mean, if I'm asking.
Which one?
Okay, so are we going to try and do Chapter 7, which is 1103?
Right.
The 1104?
Yes.
Start and stop.
And now 1064, are we going to try and do all of those by e-vote within 1 week?
I think we can.
Yes, I don't have any problem doing the prep work in that amount of time. I think I can have it done within 24 hours.
So,
sounds good. Go forward.
Is everybody done with 64? We're all done with that? Okay, 1105.
I vote yes.
You did a pre-vote. Which I did not log, because I decided that was not an official.
I know, I'm messing with the system.
So you guys, when you do this e-vote stuff, you got to address pre-voting.
Okay,
so 1105. Susie, you want to do this one?
I agreed with Ann's assessment of the old one that I didn't ask for the right changes. So I changed what I was asking for, and now I'm changing the definition as well as the length so that it's clear that this refers to non-spectral image bands as well as spectral ones. And
Go ahead. I'm reading what I've got in front of me, and I'm wondering if maybe something got screwed up when I printed the thing out because I'm not actually seeing any changes.
No, I don't know what you're looking at.
At the element definitions provided.
Oh, well, the one that I submitted to Ron, I underlined.
Let me double check this. I think it's me. I think it's not you.
The one that's on the website right now is, I can read it.
Okay.
It's there.
Yeah.
So anyway, the difference is that the definition has been changed to specify the bands may be either spectral or not. And then I've mentioned all the places where I'd gone through the data dictionary and the standards reference to make that consistent. That is, where you want it to be spectral, you should say so. Where you don't want it to be spectral, you should not say so. And if you read the SCR, you'll see those examples.
Why is band center still constrained to spectral elements? Is it possible none of these other band types would have a center, like a center latitude or a center altitude or something?
I was thinking that it was only for wavelengths, but I guess you could have other numeric values that would be center. Yeah, we could make that one non-specific also. That's okay with me.
Okay. Yeah, I think just for consistency's sake, if your band can be any sort of generic dimension, then the band center is the center of that
range. Of that range.
Yeah, whatever that range might be. Is the Mars Odyssey reference essential?
Oh, well, I'm not looking at it. I'm away from the...
It's in band center again. The second sentence says, this element is used with the 2001 Mars Odyssey Themis band number element.
That was in the old definition, so I just left it there, not
remembering
why it's there.
That's why I was wondering if it was essential. It seems like an odd thing to have in an element definition.
I don't know. I don't remember anything particular about Themis bands that would require that. That's an imaging node
data
set.
Yeah.
It's more like a notation. You know, this was used in this context, but it doesn't really define anything.
Maybe somebody from imaging should make sure that's okay.
I think it's fine to remove it. It just gives us a little more information there.
Yeah, I could go either way. Don't really care. Care more about the sentence before it than I care about the second sentence.
Since we have to make changes, that mean we can't vote on this?
You just add it to the stack.
Damn.
Three is a hat trick. How many? What's four?
Four. Four is a mess.
So, Ron, what do we do? I can revise, make those two changes and revise it, and we can talk about it again or whatever. I'm here.
I mean, my preference would be to vote, but I think Dick has already made his opinion known that... Oh, Dick, go ahead and say whatever you want.
I'm wondering about band center. If we're going to change band name, don't we also want to generalize band center? It doesn't appear that the new definition would do that.
Yeah, that was the note that Susie was just taking.
Okay. Basically, I'm not going to vote favorably on anything that's not in a final form.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with getting the final form and a request to vote on it simultaneously. I don't think we necessarily need to discuss every single change post-change that we make in these things when we get to the end of the process.
Okay, so Ron, I'll revise it and resend it to you, and then you can send it out for vote.
Great. So is this going to go in the stack of 1 week e-votes?
If we can get turnaround in a day or so on all these changes.
Yep, works for me.
Yeah, if you delay it much more, we start getting into LPSC, so it's either one week or three.
Right.
I'm generally sympathetic to what Susie's done this time. I think she's dealt with the problems I brought up and Ann brought up. So,
yep.
And I think this is legitimate.
Yep.
So I think it's just a matter of getting it tuned up so it looks perfect.
Does that fit in your schedule, too?
Say again, Ron?
Does that fit in your schedule? Mark,
yes, I can send it to you today.
Thank you. Okay. We have if time permits. Todd King wants to do another round of the Find the No-Brainers. Have not turned out to be no-brainers. shall we do that?
I have another conference call at 10:30, so I can only do half an hour.
I would suggest we postpone that a little while because we seem to have enough on our plate right
Probably.
Now. But that's just my opinion.
Alrighty.
What do you think, Todd?
Yeah, I don't mind postponing it. I just want to see a lot of this stuff get moved through. We sit on it too long.
Well, the ones that are up for e-vote that end by end of day, they don't look promising. So we'll be discussing those again, I suspect. In fact, something you all might think about is how do we amend those so that they are more palatable?
Right. I guess I have a question. When I go to the engineering website and I go to the standards change request page,
mm-hmm.
I get lots of choices of how to look at the queue.
Yeah, I know.
Which one would I click on to find those things which really should be discussed?
The only one I click on is all standard.
Me too.
That's what I do too. But when you look through all,
I think
you can't really sort it by those that are in any way, you know. That
I have not delved into any of the others. I would prefer to wait for Elizabeth to come back and fix all those or whatever. I just do the whole thing.
Right.
And I agree they should be filtered somehow.
Well, do you want to come up with another 6 or 8, and we could have a conference call next week, and then we'd have a couple of weeks to think over LPSC.
You want to have a conference call next week?
I could do it.
Sure.
Yeah. I certainly won't be here the following week.
Yeah, I guess, you know what, I could go through the queue and look at the submitted and look at the oldest ones perhaps first and say, how many of these do I think could be easily resolved or something?
That would be very helpful.
And if 6 is a good number, I'll try and identify 6 of those.
Okay. Sounds reasonable.
Sounds good.
I think we start getting cranky if it's more than 6.
So it's some of these date way back, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that we never really resolved them. I mean, I'm seeing things from 2002.
Oh, the other one I saw right offhand was from 2004. And now I'm actually seriously wondering if this hasn't actually already happened in some of these cases.
Yeah, I mean, underscored and quoted values is one that, you know, is just sitting there from 2003,
yeah.
And I thought we had kind of, in practice, resolved that.
There's a, let's see, 1042 is to increase the length of target name to 100 characters. Well, it's currently 120. So, I don't know if you want to mark that withdrawn or superseded or silly. I don't know. Do you have a status for that?
Silly.
Silly. But clearly it doesn't need to be there any longer. So a little bit of research, especially on things that involve increasing lengths or standard values, you may find that some of them drop away pretty quickly. Maybe, if you're lucky.
Well, even getting half a dozen out that have already been done would make the list look better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not the list of all SCRs.
Well, 6.
Just the list of submitted ones. Yeah,
those waiting for a vote or something.
The report that presumably the Management Council looks at from time to time on technical progress would look better.
I don't think I've ever seen that, but yeah.
In theory, if such a thing existed.
If there's suddenly a reduction in 20% in the SCR list, I think that would justify issuance of a report.
It might. Or a bottle of champagne at the very least.
Folks, if we're going to meet again next week, could we end the e-voting at noon on Tuesday so that at least we have the outcomes of those votes and we know if those require further discussion?
Good idea.
Yeah, that's fine by me. Better not snow here tomorrow, huh?
Be glad you're not in the West.
I am occasionally.
Are we done, Ron?
Anything else? Anybody want to bring up? No?
No, I think we're in good shape.
We got lots of action items, so. Gotcha.
I'm waiting to act.
Right. All righty. Thanks, people. So I'll set up the telecom for next week.